This is a test, 1, 2, 3.
That's what I told him.
Boy, it got quiet here. Must be time to start. I will call the Workers' Compensation Review Committee to order, and our first agenda item is to ask our clerk Jen for a roll call.
Thank you, Senators Lafleur. Campbell.
Oh, that was thank you. Here.
Campbell.
Here.
I thought that was a thank you, Senator Lafleur.
Representatives Kuhn.
Here.
Ammerman.
Here.
And Sukit.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum, and I think Senator Sinner may be arriving.
Senator Sinner said he's going to be 15 minutes late, so we're going to proceed slowly for a little bit while he can get here. Next item on the agenda is consideration of the minutes of the September 8 meeting.
So moved.
A motion by Representative Kuhn.
I'll second.
A second by Senator Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We didn't need roll call on that one.
You don't.
No. Thank you. I think our purpose today, our agenda, is to review one last time with Malcolm Dodge the performance audit. If we have any questions on that, we can ask. And Representative Sukit, you weren't here when we went through that, so if you have any questions, now's the time to review those with Malcolm. And any of us, if we have those questions. I'm also going to keep him on while we discuss the three bill drafts which follow. We have three bill drafts that came out of our discussions. One on PTSD, one corrected, it added in writing, if you were offered that position and turned it down, we wanted that in writing. And the third one was about opioid treatment. So we have those three bill drafts to go through, and then any other discussion that you guys would like to do. So that's the agenda today. We have Malcolm on the line, so that brings us to our 2:05 p.m. agenda item, which is discussion and directives regarding the performance evaluation that Malcolm Dodge from Sedgwick Claims Management Services, Inc. performed for us. I could probably start with Malcolm if you have any. Malcolm, if you have anything you want to jump in with to start with.
Mr. Chairman, the one comment that I just wanted to make sure, I talked to Jen a little bit about this before you started the meeting, and it had to do with just providing some background information to you on the DMP. And that information that we provided suggested that there was a very small group of employers that were actually using the DMP as what appeared to be a method to achieve a discount on their premium. It was about 200 employers out of, you know, the more than 20,000 or 25,000 that you now have in the state. So it's a pretty small number. And I just wanted to make that point.
Okay. Any other comments on DMP? Malcolm, anything else? Is that it for us?
That was it. I just wanted to make that comment to make sure that you know, that the information that I had forwarded last week, that you understood that, you know, the percentage of employers who were using it for the as a 5% discount through the safety action menu is pretty small. That was just a follow up on a question that I know one of you had in September, so I wanted to mention that.
All right. So, committee, any questions, final questions on the performance evaluation, WSI performance evaluation for Malcolm? Hearing none. Senator Sinner?
I have none. Thank you.
Have none? Yep. Yeah, I think you were here last time when we went through that.
I was.
Malcolm, hearing no other comments, we're going to move quickly advance to our bill drafts. So if you could hang on, we may have questions for you because I think you helped with some of these, and some of these came out of the performance evaluation, so. Committee, we have three bill drafts, and I'll go through them in order. The first one is 15.0264.0200. And this is the one that we asked that would provide proof or offer, proof of the offer of employment. If an employee voluntarily limits their income or refuses to accept employment that eventually disables them from other benefits, we wanted to have that in writing. We didn't want any more he said, she said kind of issues like we ran into in the one that we heard earlier this year. So that's what this bill draft does. Any comments, or Representative Kuhn?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in the underlying section of that bill on the second sentence there where it indicates employment must be established by an employer's written offer, would that be by the employer provided to the employee rather than the written offer the employer provided? I don't know. It's just a wording thing.
Jen?
Or doesn't, maybe it doesn't make any difference.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I suppose if you're reading it and you can read it two ways, that maybe is an indication that we need to clarify it. I would look to you for suggestions if you think that it's ambiguous.
The other option is you move it forward and you correct that down the road in the committee.
That's fine.
If it's minor language. We can amend here and then approve a bill as amended, and then we don't need to come back and see that.
It's probably not worth that, but I didn't, it was easier for me to understand if I...
Mr. Chairman, we could insert the word from in between written and offer, or written offer from the employer, or provided from the employer to the employee by registered mail. It just a little, like, I agree with Kurt, just needs a little rearranging of the word. So he would say the employer's written offer provided from the employer to the employee by registered mail.
So then you also scratch this, the actual word provided that is in there now.
Yeah, you'd have to move it.
Yep, I'll move it, yeah, yep.
Can you read that one more time for me, Senator? Start off, for purposes of this subsection.
For purposes of this subsection, proof of offer of employment must be established by an employer's written offer provided from the employer to the employee by registered mail. That makes sense?
Representative Ammerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for my clarification and my memory, the other two bill drafts, I believe, come from, given to us by WSI and doing with the performance evaluation. Now this one is one we came up and within discussions and different things, correct?
That's correct. We had, I believe it was just one review this session from an injured worker. And in that review, they didn't understand that they were losing benefits I don't remember the exact conversation. They either didn't remember they were losing benefits or claimed that they had never denied the potential job offer. And we thought it would make sense from this point on to actually have that in writing, because they are, by denying the job offer, they are, they're saying they're losing those benefits down the road. So we wanted that in writing. We just thought that made sense. So that's where this one came from.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Campbell.
How about if we, it's kind of doubled up there, how about if we just, I'll start from, for purposes of this subsection, proof of offer of employment must be established by employer's written offer to the employee by registered mail. So just eliminate the, or the employer provided. Because why would you, it's, you know, employer's written offer from the employer's provided. It's double. Just eliminate that and simplify it and shorten it. And by an employer's written offer to the employee by registered mail.
Whatever works. As long as we all understand.
Yep.
So written offer to the employee by registered mail.
Scratching the employer provided.
Yeah.
Correct. Adding the word to after offer and scratching the employer provided.
To is already there.
Please on the strike one.
Oh, it is. Yep. I'm sorry. So all we're doing then is scratching the provider and the employer provided.
Yep.
Okay. We have to move that?
Mr. Chairman, if you and the committee think you're ready to recommend forward, then you could
then we'd
have a motion to amend.
Yep.
And then the next motion
yep.
would be what, if you wanted to move it forward.
Okay. Committee, thoughts?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
That sounds good. I would need a motion to amend. Okay, Senator Sinner? Amends scratching the three words, the employer provided.
Whatever Tom says.
Yes.
How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Vote for Kramer.
I'm sorry.
It's a good thing we all know each other so well.
I think he's going to get...
I need a second.
I'll second.
All right, Senator Sinner, Campbell seconds. Does this also would need a roll call vote, Jen? I believe.
I think that's the best way to do it.
Yep. So we will take a roll call vote.
Senators Campbell.
Yes.
Sinner.
Aye.
Representatives Cruen.
Yes.
Ammerman.
Yes.
And Sukup.
Yes.
And Senator Lapine.
Yes.
That motion does carry.
Okay, now we have an amended Bill 15.0264.02000 committee. Any other comments? Anybody care to move this forward?
So moved.
Representative Cruen, I need a second.
Second.
Second from Representative Sukup. And again, we will have a roll call vote.
Senators Campbell.
Yes.
Sinner.
Aye.
Representatives Cruen.
Yes.
Ammerman.
Yes.
Sukup.
Yes.
And Senator Lapine.
Yes.
The motion carries as well.
All right. Second bill draft was, now these, the next two came from the performance evaluation recommendations. We added, this first one, PTSD, we added in committee as a study item, if I remember right. And this is the recommendation from the performance evaluation. And the bill draft before you does a couple of things. It adds PTSD, I believe for the first time in our language, if I'm not mistaken. And this would be for first responders only.
Full-time paid.
And full-time paid, yeah.
Full-time
paid. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. It is for full-time paid first responders. The triggering mechanism in here is in number 7 is it would be extraordinary and unusual in comparison to the normal conditions of the particular employment. And then there are some other qualifiers after that. And it has a limitation of 26 weeks and not to exceed $50,000. And also has a effective date, an end date, at the end of the next biennium, July 31, 2017. That's the way this bill draft is written. So I would suggest this is a sort of toe in the water kind of bill with the ending date. So committee discussion, thoughts? Representative Ammerman, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this bill and the one we will be discussing on the opioids were brought, given to us last meeting by WSI, and I believe in to kind of comply with or with the performance evaluation. It was my understanding at that time they were also going to present today something of their own bill, whether they are or not, I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything like that. What I'd like to say, and I do have a question for probably for WSI, is that I've served on this committee from this, it was concepted. And I also served in IBL, and that's where about 99% of all the WSI bills come through on either Senate or House side. It's pretty much, in my opinion, sitting on the committee and dealing with WSI issues. And when WSI brings a bill forward with their, as they introduce as an agency bill, it usually goes through, it might be amended, it might be so on and so forth. But this bill, given to us from WSI, does not have their fingerprint on it, or however you want to say, so it will come from the committee. My question for somebody from WSI is, if this is through legislative management, comes to a IBL committee, how will you testify on this? Because I think it's a good bill with the post-traumatic stress disorder. But how will you testify in committee in the legislative session? Are you going to be for it, neutral, or against it? Because it's not going to come as your bill. You give it to us to send on. So you can testify any way you want to on this. So I'd like to know, if you can at this time, are you going to be for it, against it, or neutral when this bill, if this bill hits the session?
Brian, I don't know if you can answer that, or which one of you guys wants to try and answer that? Tim. They're volunteering you, Tim.
This is Tim Wallin, Workforce Safety and Insurance. I mentioned earlier I was expendable. Quite candidly, I don't know how we will testify on this. It goes before our board for recommendation. Recommendation goes through Brian and to the governor. We presented a number of different legislative items last board meeting, which was just on Wednesday of last week. This was not one of them. So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Ammerman, I don't know our position at this point.
If I
may. Yep, continue.
And, you know, that's, so basically what we're saying here, this is being brought to the committee to satisfy the workforce or the performance audit, but you're not real crazy about it, because if you were, you'd have put your hand mark on it and had it introduced by WSI. And it is a good bill, so you're satisfying the performance audit, but you're letting yourself out the hook so it comes through our committee. Is that a fair statement?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ammerman, I'm not, I don't have a good answer for that, no, because I don't know our position yet, and I would be out on a limb if I were to start giving you my positions on them, so.
Thank you.
Good point.
Senator Sinner.
Chairman, Mr. Walling, thank you for being here. Have there been any staff discussions on this issue, and what are they? Have there been staff emails that you could share?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinner, there have been numerous discussions. I know that Brian has had numerous discussions with different entities in the state, and certainly there may well be open records. I'm not sure.
Let me follow up.
Yep.
Is there any reasons why you might not support this bill? And that have been shared in these emails?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinner, I can speak to what I know I have put out there and I have shared, is that when we start dealing with psychological conditions, because they're so very difficult to diagnose and they're so very difficult to address, they're so very difficult because they're not readily and objectively ascertainable, there's always very careful consideration before we go down that road. I think that's been reflected by all of the different bills that have come before IBNL since I've been here the last 13 years, and every one of them has been very deeply considered. I'm always getting the same questions asked of me, how would that be controlled? And so I certainly, it would certainly be cavalier just to say that this is fantastic and there is no way that this can go sideways. And I don't believe that we are ever going to represent that.
Okay. And can I follow up with one more question? Generally nationwide, do other states provide this similar coverage or other insurance providers?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinner, there's a pretty significant split. It splits out so many times with, they call them mental injuries, mental stimulus, mental injury. Some states do, some states don't. Then there are the physical mental injuries, which we are considered part of. Physical injury must cause a mental condition. And it's a 50-50 split. Last time we went through and did any sorts of counts, it seems to swing back and forth. Right now there's probably a slight swing more towards the physical mental side over maybe the last 6 or 8 years. And I know that Malcolm in his report also looked at other states that do protect specifically with PTSD. Yep.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, did you do any budget analysis on this at all, on what the fiscal impact might be?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sinner, that is in the works. We have had telephone conversation with the actuaries. We have not ground through to a final answer, but it is their opinion and in discussion with us that there would not be any significant financial impact on this if it's interpreted the way that we expect it to be.
Thank you.
Committee, to just expand on that, Senator Sinner asked about other states, and we could rely on Malcolm a little bit. I think that was part of the study, possibly, that suggested what other states do. Malcolm, do you have any, was that in your report at all, how many other states are doing this?
It is in the report. I think what we concluded was that about 30% of the states do not provide coverage for what you would think of as a injury to the psyche absent a physical injury. The other 70% of the states do provide some coverage, and when we put together our analysis and the performance evaluation, we tried to focus on those states that we felt were more in the middle of the road. Nebraska being one that provided coverage for first responders. There were a couple of other states that we looked at because of victims of violent crime. And then there was a third group where the events might be thought of as sudden or unusual and extraordinary, language that's similar to what's in the bill draft, but that the statute itself was not so broad that it basically allowed any kind of psychological claim. So that's what our focus was on. So 30% of the states, no. 70% of the states, yes. With some of that group in the 70 percentage group, having very limited coverage in terms of what they will actually provide. And I think Nebraska is a very good example on the first responder side as to what, you know, their state experienced. And to Tim's point, the cost of providing this coverage was negligible in the state of Nebraska for the first 3 years. The claims expenses associated with these claims, first I think there were somewhere between 6 and 10 claims over about a 3 year period, and only one of the claims was a significant cost. I think it was about $85,000. But here you have some language built into the bill draft that limits the exposure to 26 weeks of disability benefits and no more than $15,000 in other expenses. So the cost control is essentially built into the way the bill is drafted.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Yep, thank you.
Committee, other thoughts or questions, or Senator Campbell?
Mr. Chairman, I just really struggle with this. The first responders aren't really kind of assuming that in that line of work that it'd be like having somebody in the emergency room, a physician or assistant, get sick with the sight of blood. Just some assumptions here that first responders should be used to seeing that, and I just think it really opens up how do you determine it, as you indicated. So I would just really have a challenge and an issue to support this bill. As I'm reading it right now.
Other thoughts from the committee? I struggle a little bit with the same. I'm actually not quite so worried about the way this one's written. I would worry a little bit more about what would be added to it over the years. It seems like it opens an easy door to just add too much to this. Hard to define. Representative Ammerman.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. This bill is, as it's written, is pretty restrictive, as it should be when you're first starting out in something as this, the first responders and so on. Sooner or later, the legislation is going to have to deal with the mental subject. As Malcolm said, I believe 7% of other states have something in order. North Dakota is going to have to deal with it sooner or later. And then this is a very good start. It would probably be 10, 50 years. If this was passed, it would be another 10, 20 years before we could maybe add on a little bit to cover other individuals. But I work in the manufacturing of Bobcat Company, and there's hundreds of people that work on third shift, 11 at night till 7 in the morning. And so there is nothing normal about that shift. You cannot find a way to sleep. Your family suffers because you sleep in the afternoons, you miss school activities, be it if it's second shift or third shift. And they will be on these shifts. And this is the way of the world now. It's 24-7. It's not just 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon or whatever the case might be. Sooner or later, after years of being on this shift, it takes a strong-willed family, a knit family, to survive, probably intact in that stuff. It's difficult, and the mental stress over time will get to a number of people because of that situation. And sooner or later, we're going to have to deal with it. Now, we have a pretty good bill here that's pretty restrictive, and I think it's a good start. But we can ignore it for now, but this is not going to go away. And it's going to have to be addressed whether we're sitting here or somebody else is sitting here. And I think this is a pretty good start with our first responders and the other ones that this bill would cover. So I don't know how WSI is going to testify on it, but we're going to, maybe we'll find out, but I hope we can forward this on. Thank you.
Committee, other thoughts? Representative Sukit.
This isn't the first time that this topic has hit the table, and it's for sure a difficult one to work with. And our options would be to move it forward. If we moved it forward, of course, it would have to go through the scrutiny of the Senate and the House, and you'd have to have this discussion again, and without you know, and if WSI, you know, at that point, if WSI comes in and they can't support the bill in the end, it makes it difficult. It makes it difficult for that bill to find its way through both chambers. I think our issue is, do we want to move this forward and have the discussion again, or have we discussed this enough at this point in time?
Yep, I think that is our question here today. If we have, committee, any other comments, I'll open this up to the audience. If there's anybody in the audience that has an interest in this one, wants to speak to this issue, either way. Hearing none. Committee, what are your wishes? Representative Ammerman.
I think Representative Sukit hit on exactly the right thing. It'd be easy in this small room with a dozen people sitting in it to not forward this, to kill it, or whatever term you want to use. But it needs the discussion. And tough subjects don't get passed in one session by discussion. They get amended, and then they probably get turned into a study or something like that. But these type of things, and we're talking about our workers out there doing what they're doing, and this is not going to go away. That's why you need the discussion, whether it goes anywhere or not, but you need a discussion. The next session, we need another discussion, to me, it's not good policy just to say, well, I don't know, we should take a 4-hour discussion, it's got to pass the House, got to pass the Senate, and it might get killed. That's fine. And more than likely, it will get killed. But in the full legislature, then you have people that can come forward. You have the general public can come forward. I know they can do that here today, but they're more aware of when the general session's going on, and different groups are more aware of when the session's going on. We need the discussions, kill or not kill, or whatever the case might be, because we don't have the answers, and the answer isn't just kill it and put it in a drawer. So I think we need to hopefully take this forward and have that discussion. Thank you.
Representative Kuhn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hammerman made a good point with the indication of WSI not actually completing its work as far as the study and the information that's been going to be coming forward. And without that information, I would fear that it doesn't have much of a chance at either House, to be honest with you, in pushing it forward at this point in time without the full support of both this body and WSI would create the problem that we're going to be butting our heads up against the wall for a little while. So it may or may not work, but it might not, and I would rather wait until we get that full information.
Representative Ammerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we don't push that this forward, that's fine. But then, to me, all it looks at, that it, why this was put in was just to satisfy the performance audit, and everybody in the powers that be knew it wasn't going to go anywhere anywhere, but we better put it in, because the evaluation said that would be a pretty good deal to do. That's what it looks like to me.
Committee? Representative Sinner? No? Or Senator Sinner? Maybe Representative Sinner. Senator Sinner?
Well, I would make the motion that we approve this bill, move it up to the full body this, at the next session.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Ammerman. And this would be a roll call vote, so Jen will do that.
Senators Campbell?
No.
Sinner?
Yes.
Representatives Cruen?
No.
Representatives Ammerman?
Yes.
Sukit?
No.
And Senator Lefine?
No.
Motion does not carry.
Next on our agenda is the last bill draft, and that one is 15.0317.01000, and this one deals with chronic opioid therapy coverage and monitoring. And I think what this does, and this one also came out of the performance audit review, and we've had a lot of discussion on the opioid issue in the past. Brian or Tim, do you guys want to speak to this at all before we discuss it? How, the way this is written and what this really says?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tim Walling, Workforce Safety and Insurance. This actually has come out of the last two performance audits regarding opioid therapies or the prescription of opioid drugs. This is our attempt to address and define, put some parameters around what we have defined as a chronic opioid therapy. That means a long-term opioid therapy extending beyond 90 days. When that takes place, we will pay for that therapy or pay for those prescription drugs so long as certain things are in place. They have to show there's an improvement in pain without debilitating side effects, improvement in ability to return to work. There has to be certain trademarks hit upon with respect to the prescription to an injured employee, including no other illegal substances, discontinuation when there's non-responsive to the opioid treatments, and testing. And so with respect to those particular items, it defines what we are going to deem chronic opioid therapy to qualify for the payment of that. So it just deals with the payment of those prescription drugs. In order to qualify for the payment of those things, it creates both injured worker and provider expectations, which both have to be met in order for the payment of the prescription.
And we do, like we currently do, pay for these.
Absolutely.
And so this is just providing some parameters by which we hope they aren't abused.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly right. It begins to put some parameters or a fence around that field in an effort to control some of the numbers that we're addressing and have been addressed in those reports.
Okay. Committee, Representative Ammerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim, and like the other bill, we've addressed this some time, but and I don't know if you can answer this question, but the benchmarks or the parameters you set up, able to do some work and not be addicted. How would you come up with that decision? Would it be patient's physician, an IME, how do you say, okay, you, looks like you are improving, blah, 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 and we will pay for this or somebody else and you won't. How do you reach that decision?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Armin, we are looking for documentation within the medical treater's records, documenting in fact that there is an improvement in pain control, documenting in fact there is an increase in function, documenting in fact that there is an ability to resume working, and then we would also look at whether or not the height of that prescription is creating a number of debilitating effects, an ability to drive, inability to sleep on a regular cycle, those types of debilitating effects that we know are also. So we're going to be looking right at the medical records, and we're going to be taking a look at those and finding out whether that's present, whether that's not present. To the extent, would we be required to find another physician to review some of that? I think in some cases that's absolutely correct. Would that be considered an IME? I believe that that probably would be considered an IME or an IMR. Having another physician review to agree with our assessment that it's not present or that it is present. Some of the other things, treatments for the presence or absence of the drug, use of illegal substances, I think they're a little more clear. I don't particularly think that we would need to present testimony from a physician from some sort of IME, IMR when that shows up or fails to show up in the test. So I think the different areas will be looked at differently within the bill.
Continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Tim, this has been to the legislation before. You can, off the top of your head or whatever, can the difference, say, between this bill and some of the other ones that have been brought forward, can you remember, were they basically the same, or how is maybe this one better or worse than some of the other ones that we've dealt with?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Armin, if you remember, we tried to tackle this, was it two sessions ago? I believe it was when we first tried to get our arms around it, because we noticed that there had been a dramatic increase in the usage of these fairly dangerous medicines. And so at that point in time, we carved out items. There are a number of those items that are in this bill. One of them, for example, defining chronic opiate therapy at 90 days. That comes directly out of the first bill. We defined it at 30. The consensus was, no, 90 is a better time frame. Great. You don't see that reflected in here. Testing has been consistent through all of the bills, the ability to require testing, the ability to require that there are not illegal substances or abuse substances showing up. That is consistent between all of them as well. Increase in function. That has also been a hallmark through the system, which is that in order to be paying for a therapy, it sounds simplistic, but we expect an increase in function. We expect that therapy is correct, it's going to increase somebody's ability to do something or alleviate something. So those items have been. Some of the other items we have taken out of this particular draft, but really, most of this draft, this body's seen before two sessions ago.
Representative Sukit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim, these drugs in and of themselves are addictive, are they not?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sukit, that's a hallmark of them, yes. They can become dependent.
So how far does WSI get involved with these? If you have an injured worker, you know, he's on these drugs, you're working with his pain, he's progressing, he finally gets to a point to where he's maybe ready to be off those drugs. Does WSI and the provider at that point in time continue to work with him and help him get off the, you know, get off of those drugs and so he can get back to, a, you know, hopefully a normal life?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sukit, from WSI's perspective, absolutely. That's part of the injury. It's part of the aftercare of the injury. Candidly, we don't see a large call for people moving off of these long-term therapies.
So for the most part, once they're on them, they're kind of on them for the duration, are they?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sukit, that's what our numbers seem to indicate, are that the long-term opioids tend to be extremely long-term. Yeah. If you want any further details, I've got our pharmacist here who would be happy to fill the rest of the afternoon.
And I vaguely remember some of that debate, you know, two sessions ago, and I think what we're, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're trying to do is have some parameter here by which we can start to wean somebody off of that. The problem is you get addicted to it potentially, and it's hard to say if the person is just addicted to it or still needs it. That's the difficulty.
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly the difficulty. And then the secondary difficulty is when there are other things that start to crop up with addictions, seeking additional prescriptions, seeking illegal substances to substitute or to augment. I mean, that's, at that point, the war's lost, let's face it.
And I assume all states allow the use of opioids in their, of course, not all states have their own program like we do, but...
Mr. Chairman, all states are going to have some type of workers' compensation. All states are going to have some sort of medical component to it. I don't know of a single state who has said they won't pay for opioid therapy. Opioid therapy is a fantastic therapy, especially in the short term for healing. It's been around since the Civil War, pre-Civil War, as it works. It's just when you get into those longer-term scenarios that the difficult problems start to crop up.
Committee, other thoughts? Representative Weimerman.
Yeah, just one more question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Tim, you know, I'm not sure of your salary, but you ought to get a bonus because I remember talking to you before we started and you didn't think you'd have to get up, and I said, I might have to make you get up. But this is the other bill that you brought forward last meeting, so just to be consistent, you probably don't know. Would it be safe to say you're not sure how WSI will testify on this one if it comes at a session?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ammerman, I'm slightly more sure because we supported it last time and it's very similar. So if consistency exists, I suspect that we would continue to support this particular bill. So I've got a better answer.
Tim, do you, I remember this from two sessions ago. Apparently we did not pass this then or wouldn't be here today.
Mr. Chairman, it passed one house and not the other.
Okay. I won't ask which. Committee, other thoughts? Senator Campbell.
And Mr. Chairman and Tim, why, I guess I wasn't involved with IBL or this two sessions ago, but why didn't it pass? And what was some of the opposition comments? Why wouldn't you have control? I go back to this opiate and a lot of this drug, you know, is this initially, and you kind of answered my questions and that's why I took my mic off, but you know, in the end, at the end of the lifetime, the end of the game, are we ahead of this by having these opioids in the first place or not? Is it better to just grin and bear it for a short period of time or to have a majority of the people that are hooked on this for a lifetime and they create nothing but massive issues?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Campbell, I can tell you the debate, ultimately the debate that took place last time this bill came was it was the treating group, so physicians and physician extenders in that prescribing community, believing that WSI, state agency, was injecting itself too far into that, that patient-physician relationship. They said this is between the patient and the physician, WSI, you're in too far. So really, the philosophical debate that took place was, you're too close, you're too far in, we'll take care of it ourselves. And so that philosophically is how the debate went last time. With respect to whether or not the drugs work, whether or not it's better to use them in the short term, they exist. I think anybody reputable would agree that they provide pain therapy. I think it would be fairly inhuman not to use them in those particular cases on the front end. And I think that's not me talking, that is just because that's the way medicine is operating currently, and I have faith in our medical community ultimately. Nobody has a fantastic answer on how to address and where to address when that cycle has become out of control. And so all different states, all different entities are trying to look at some formula to address it, because it's a massive problem. Because we're all searching means that there, to me, means that there's no great answer. It's a matter of starting to hammer out a policy on where it is and where we're going to make those decisions, and this is basically one of our first stabs.
Representative Sukit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You jogged my memory enough that I can remember 2 years ago now that or a couple of sessions ago when we talked about this, there was at that point in time appeared to be a substantial amount of abuse of use of these drugs on from the provider side. This bill actually would, at least from the standpoint of WSI, would put some tighter controls over what's done there from your aspect. Is that not right? Looks like this bill would do that, at least do that for us. Here, there's no way you can control what goes on with the medical field, but you can control what you pay for. And this bill looks to me like this bill kind of helps do that part of it anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for. We can pay or we cannot pay. We can't necessarily make people do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Committee, other thoughts? Any comments from interested parties in the audience on this issue? Malcolm, you have any thoughts on this one that you want to share with the committee?
The reason that this bill, I think, has some merit is because there is an effort here to try to give WSI some capacity in working with treating providers to make sure that injured workers who are receiving opioids for chronic pain are A, benefiting from those opioids, and B, following treatment protocols that are suggested, prescribed by their treating physicians. One of the thoughts that I had is that to the extent that there is any passage of a bill like this, that the terms of the bill should probably be spelled out in the pain management contract that's signed between the injured worker and the treating physician, so that there is some upfront awareness on the part of the injured worker that once they've gotten to that 90-day threshold, that there are greater responsibilities on their part to, in a sense, validate that the medications that they're taking are being taken appropriately and that they're providing the relief that is intended or the increase in function. I think those two things are important. I think one of the things that's important to recognize, too, is that there can also be conditions where pain medication is given as a way of reducing the amount of pain that a person is in, and it may be that that medication taken over a long enough period of time because of the chronicity of an injury is needed without perhaps the overall pain level changing demonstrably after the 90 days has passed. In other words, there may be certain conditions that somebody would have, you know, take quite a bit of time to recover from. And that, I think, should also be factored into the way in which WSI would look at opioid use beyond 90 days. I think that's important. Another thing that I think is important just for the health of the injured worker is that in instances where a medication is being discontinued because of a lack of compliance, one of the things that WSI may wish to consider is whether or not somebody should be placed in a detoxification program so that the withdrawal can be medically managed.
So if I understand correctly, a person could remain on these opioid drugs if it is managing the pain, and they don't have any debilitating side effects, and they are still getting a report every 90 days from their treating physician to that effect. They can, it's not cutting everybody off at 90 days. Okay. Committee, what are your wishes?
I guess I'll move to approve this to move it forward.
Hit your button.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to move this forward to the next level.
Okay. We have a motion from Representative Kroon.
Second
from Senator Campbell. And we will take a roll call vote.
Thank you, Senators Campbell.
Yes.
Sinner.
Aye.
Representatives Kroon.
Yes.
Ammerman.
Yes.
Sukit.
Yes.
Chairman Lafine.
Yes.
And that motion does carry.
I think that's the end of our agenda. Any comments at all from the committee? Hearing none, I want to thank you all. This was my first committee that I've ever chaired, so I apologize for those of you I called senators and weren't, those of you who were representatives and weren't. That happened a lot, so my apologies. And with that, I believe we are done, and I need a motion.
I'll move to adjourn.
We need to approve, and we're short one motion.
We are short one motion. I need a motion to prepare bills and a final report.
So moved.
That motion is moved by Representative Kroon. We need a second, Representative Sukit. That also needs a roll call vote.
Senators Lafine?
Yes.
Campbell?
Yes.
Sinner?
Yes.
Representatives Kroon?
Yes.
Ammerman?
Yes.
And Sukit?
Yes.
That motion carries as well.
That motion carries. So now I need a motion to adjourn. Sine die.
I'll move.
I'll move for the adjourn, the sine die.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Hey, Malcolm. This is Jen again. Thank you for staying on the line. We just wrapped up. Appreciate your help in getting us there.
Okay.
Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you. You too.
I'm doing good.
All dressed up.
I understand, and I expect that will go forward with an individual sponsor. And we'll see where that goes. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Malcolm. Bye bye.
There'll be just a little something extra. There'll be a little extra.
Yeah, thank you.